Thank you very much. I would just like to welcome everybody here. My name is Chris Lange. I'm the VP of this committee. need to be today. Relevant people to start in the work. If our mixed Latin way has two ministers, the minister is shooting our team. So we are ready. Can you take over?
Good morning, honorable members, honorable minister, honorable deputy minister, officials of the Department of Transport and other officials of the committee. The purpose of this presentation, members of the committee, you'll recall that we shared with you the outcomes of the transport portfolio excluding the department sometime in October. At that stage, the department's annual report was not tabled, but we didn't share the outcomes of the national department. At this stage, we're going to just share the outcomes of the National Department of Transport, and the purpose of this is to give you highlights. Certain things that we picked up through the audit process to assist the committee through the BRRR process in terms of enabling oversight and effective governance over the department and also the entity. If we move to slide four just talks about the three areas that we looked at as the audit agenda. We looked at the quality of the financial statements. We looked at the reliability and credibility of the performance reporting, that's the reported performance against the set target. And lastly, the third area that we looked at is the area of compliance with applicable key legislation. Slides 5 and 6 just sets out the different types of audit opinion that could be expressed by the Auditor General. It goes from unqualified with no findings, that's the best opinion, to sort of the worser opinion, which is your adverse and your disclaimed opinion on slide 6. If we move to slide 8, on slide 8, there's three tables. The first is a reflection on the audit outcome over the 3 years. The second table talks to the trend in compliance with applicable legislation. And lastly, we look at the three-year trend in terms of the quality of performance reporting and, well, the credibility and the quality of performance reporting. Those are the three areas that we as the Auditor General look at. In terms of the three-year audit outcome, you'll see that the department has moved in terms of regression. It moved from a financially unqualified with findings to a qualified audit opinion with findings. The reason for the qualification is the issue of the Enatus assets and the fact that we couldn't have records to support the assets that were disclosed in the financial statements, and also access to physically verify the assets was limited. That's due to the ongoing litigation around or with the service provider around the Enatus system, which prevented us from having access to the physical verification of the assets, and also, in a way, prevented the department from having suitable records to fully account accurately and completely for all of the assets around the Enatus system. If we look at the compliance with key legislation, the 3 year trend, it remained unchanged. Typically, the 3 year trend in terms of compliance. The key areas of non-compliance in the department that we picked up was the issue of material misstatements in the financial statements. The areas of misstatements in the financial statements was around accruals and also the issue of the Enatus assets, which wasn't properly accounted for. The other area of non-compliance that we picked up in the current year was the issue of asset management and the failure to prevent irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In terms of the quality of annual performance plans, there's two tables, or there's two sets of bars in this block. The one on my left would be talking to the usefulness of the annual performance plan, and the one on the right will talk to the reliability of the reported performance. In terms of the quality of the annual performance plans, that's where we assess does the indicators meet the SMART criteria to be used for? Is there consistency in terms of presentation, etc.? You'll note that the department did improve from 13-14 into 14-15 and 15-16, where we didn't have any material findings on the quality of its annual performance plan. On the quality of the annual performance report, that's where we assess the reliability of the reported performance. That's where we start looking at, does the evidence support what is reported as an actual achievement? In 14.15 and 13.14, we had material findings around the reliability of the reported performance, but there has been an improvement in 15.16 where we did not have any material findings. So overall, in terms of performance reporting, there has been an improvement in the department. If we move to the next slide, which is slide 9, that's where we look at the status of key controls, and then we also look at the assurance providers overall. In terms of status of key controls, we assess on three areas. We look at leadership, we look at financial and performance management, and we look at governance. Our concern emanates purely around the leadership issue, the actioning of audit plan, HR management, under financial and performance management. Our areas of concern is the issue of regular accurate reports supported by the qualified opinion on the assets, and some issues around the daily and monthly control in terms of reconciliation and also monitoring compliance with laws and regulations. Those are the areas that we've got concerns around in terms of the key controls. In terms of assurance providers, we've assessed senior management and the accounting officers providing some assurance. That talks directly to the non-compliance with key legislation that we picked up, and also talking to the qualification in terms of the enhanced assets. If we move to slide 11, that's where we start looking at the quality of annual performance report. And there, as I indicated up front, we did not pick up any material audit findings on the three programs that we tested, which was rail transport, road transport, and public transport, and that reflected in terms of an improvement on performance reporting in the department. In terms of slide number 13, this is where we talk about compliance with key legislation. The two areas that I spoke about, non-compliance with key legislation, the two areas which repeated itself from the last year was material misstatements in the submitted financials and the prevention of irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And if we move to the figures on the right, that's where we look at where there were material misstatements. Was the department able to correct it? You'll note in 2014-15, the department had material misstatements in its financial statements. It was able to correct it, which resulted in an unqualified with findings or its opinion. For the current year, however, it wasn't able to do the correction, but only on the inadequate assets. And it was for the reasons that I mentioned earlier, the whole litigation around, or with the service provider around the inadequate assets. And that resulted in the qualified audit opinion. Slide 14 talks to the issues of unauthorized irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. You'll note on the figures on the left, for unauthorized expenditure, the department did not incur any unauthorized expenditure in the current year. The reasons for the unauthorized in the previous 2 years were the payment for the maintenance of the INASA system, which wasn't included in the budget, so there was overspending on the budget. In the 15-16 year, that function of payment for the maintenance of the INASA system was taken over by the RTMC, which meant that the department did not overspend on its budget. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there is minimal fruitless and wasteful expenditure, although you see an increase in trend from 20,000 up to 115,000 in the current year. But that fruitless and wasteful expenditure is mostly as a result of cancellations of accommodation, cancellations or no-shows for flights and accommodation that gives rise to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In terms of the irregular expenditure, declining trend of irregular expenditure in the department from 1.1 billion in 13-14 down to 1.5 million in 2015-16. In the previous years, the reason for the irregular expenditure was the extension of the INASA contract, and that was declared an invalid extension. extension, so any payment on the invalid extension of the contract was deemed irregular expenditure. As I mentioned, that the payments for the INATA's maintenance moved over to the RPMC, so that's why you see the decline in terms of irregular expenditure in the department for the current year. The $1.5 million doesn't relate to the INATA's payments, it relates to other contracts where the scope was extended or the period was extended, and that was not approved for the $1.5 million in the current year. In terms of the investigations of the fruitless and wasteful irregular expenditure, the department has investigated all of its instances of irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. If we move to slide 16, this is where we start talking about the root causes, and we as the Auditor General identified the three areas that's giving rise to this picture. Is the slow response by management in terms of action plans to address non-compliance issues. The in-artist matter is a new issue, so it's something that will need tracking going forward in terms of how it's addressed. Instability of vacancies in key positions within the department, and then lack of consequences for poor performance or transgression. So those are the three key root causes that we've identified that's giving rise to this picture for the department. In terms of the commitment by the minister, we managed to meet the minister, we obtained commitments, we tracked those commitments. You'll note in the green block we say management of vacancies is a commitment that was implemented, but honorable members, please note that when we say management of vacancies, we were talking about management of vacancies overall in the portfolio, not specifically for the department. So those would be talking through the issues like the Tampa board, which wasn't in place. At a point, the department didn't have a full-time DG. The DG was appointed, but there were changes post-year-end, which gave rise to certain vacancies or acting positions, or people acting in certain positions. And also the management of vacancies spoke generally to the portfolio, the proper stability of leadership around that. So that's why you'll see, we say implemented, yes, in the portfolio, but there's still some work to be done within the department. That's why we point to the root cause of instability of vacancies in key positions. For the rest of the commitments, honorable members, you would have seen that because it's the very same commitment that we presented when we presented the rest of the portfolio. And it relates to key matters that we feel is important to track within the portfolio. On the extreme right, you'll note what we're talking about is proposed commitments. And these are commitments that we're proposing to the portfolio committee. It's something that you can take back. And it's going to happen through an engagement that's supposed to be scheduled between my corporate executive and the honorable chairperson, where we get feedback in terms of, are you willing to accept these as proposed commitments? Are there any other commitments that you would like to take forward as a committee? But we speak about monitoring of action plans to prevent repetition of findings. We speak about getting feedback from management as to how they implemented the action plan. Feedback on the assessment of e-control, the status of vacancies within the department and within the portfolio generally, and also the issue of consequence management and how is that being dealt with within the portfolio. Honorable Chairperson is here. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, that is my presentation. We'll take questions.
deputy minister wasn't here when we said our aye, so also recognition to the deputy minister. Thank you for the presentation, and it seems like there's been a real anxiety, you know, on the one side in having the responsibility of delivering a particular report on time, but then the technicality around where you place the assets and the legal implications that it might have on the decision under which heading you put this, that even might be used against you in that you then portray a particular image of where you see the asset, and this might have a legal implication on how the judgment then is rolled out. So my question then is, we surely have had similar situations before. Don't we have a guiding document of a note or a note of a particular kind that in a way directs you of how you should apply your mind with a pending judgment? Certainly there's a straightforward answer to this, but then in fear of the implication of the decision on where you then assign these assets to, there's hesitance. And as I understand it, it was based on this hesitance that the department unfortunately delivered this report late. So now my question to the financial technical side of things, surely we have had similar cases before. So, and surely by means of compiling your financial statements with notes that would clear this particular incident, there could have been an avenue through which they could have been guided sooner, so that they ask for help late. What was the real situation around this? I've also attended the SCOPA meeting, so I've got insight in terms of what was said there. So I would really want to hear, you know, whether we have guidelines on instances where particular judgments are in waiting, which then in a way forces you to then try and sidestep all of this. That's my only question for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Another question?
Thank you, Chair. Morning, everyone. Morning, Chairperson. I have a concern, Chairperson, around the issue of this inactive thing, but I think it won't be relevant if I direct my question to you. Let me reserve it for the department, because I wanted to check the corrective measure of the situation, because it seems this inactive is causing a problem. Now that they are getting a contribution around it, we need to discuss it further. But my other issue was around the issue of the assembling. Now that you don't audit all the programs, what will the situation come the next financial year? Now that we're pretty active, will you again take the ones that we have not taken this year? I'm just interested in that. Thanks, Jeff. Otherwise, thanks for the presentation.
Baba,
well, thank you, Honorable Chair, and send it to the presentation. I just want to understand a little bit on the qualifications and the issue of assets. Particularly the emergency assets that we have. Because on here it says that not having sufficient support place for my home. I just want to put this a little bit with a more insight on it. Because the issue of emergency has been an issue for a little while. And in that little while, there has been a regular audit on the OMA. Is it the first time that the issue about the particular asset becomes the main issue that has already been a qualification, or has it been flagged in the previous financial audit? Second question for me is the net statement issue, that net statement means that it's given to the disclosure of the materiality of what is this net statement. speak to them in severity of it, to have the understanding in severity of that. Okay, those are two questions on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chef. I also would ask the questions at the range you want. I just want to understand that disability is that the issue of vacancies in key conditions. We want to meet from the department and something, and we were told that the pressure is put into place on the best taken measure that certain positions should not succeed. So how do we rate what the treasury has put in place and what is the price has been like the 15 instability? And I say some of these questions can be answered by the department. The department which gave us his explanation. But not so long ago, they said there were a few top managerial positions where they have been interviewed, but appointments have been given. Can we get the story right? What is one? In 9, it shows red, unless I'm not upgrade the color coding of regular operating complete financial and performance report. That's the settlement of the CFO to FRAC has an impact on what we see here on slide 9 in terms of performance when it comes to accuracy and the regularity of those reports. Or there are other reasons that have led to this. In the previous year or the previous financial year, the department has performed very well in many aspects, including the entities that belong to that department. Well, what has gone wrong
certain principles, not as to whether there is a case the question that is always been in my mind, having seen what the President Larry is saying towards the issue of TAPSIMA, is why was it not possible for the AG to audit, but say the assets that are there in TAPSIMA, for the fact that probably the department can make the AG certificate, whatever you call it, will have to wait for the outcomes of the court before we can begin the investigation, which means that they are vetted to the unqualified speaker, the qualified speaker that we have met for the entire thing. The other issue that I would like to check with the AG is that from the point of view in terms of the objectives, measurable objectives, are they specific? Because as we're doing the ACC in the beginning of the year and the transparency, there were some objectives that were really not measurable. Could you be able to say, in terms of what the department has done, the ACP, the annual report, the objectives are really specific and measurable in this regard? The financial adjustment, how massive was it that the department did the financial adjustment? Because you realize that there was a challenge when the Treasury had to cut some funding and the department had to do and make with what it had internally, therefore doing some adjustment so that they can be able to continue with the program. And what was the impact with this adjustment to a done financially towards the program that the department has turned itself to be doing? Having gone through the 2014-15 annual report, there were certain similarities that I saw the annual report. Would we say that there has been some copies and pasting of certain things in the department? And also based on the fact, I'm raising this based on the fact that there are certain issues that you raise as AG, which actually is repeat findings which has not. When you look at the annual report, you find that the responses are almost similar in both these years that I'm talking to, meaning that to me, as I was going through this, it said to me that there has not been like action from the executive management of the department, and hence things which are like in that regard. Would you say, as the AG, that there is levity in terms of the officials in doing their work, and hence this type of approach, and hence sometimes you find that a particular issue is affecting without proper, without improvement to the better, just the instructions like that. Thank you very much, Dr.
Thank you. Before you respond to mine, just short to be the client. The disadvantage to come later. Some of the things that you covered by my colleagues, but nevertheless, I wanted to make a follow-up. AG, in your input, you spoke about complaints that line changed. For example, you spoke about acquiring. And then also in the briefing, in the policy outcomes over the 2 years. You spoke about issue of leadership and financial and performance management and staff. You see, may you please equip us? I know that some of these questions are related to this, but help us, empower us, so that when we do our example, my convention, coming again, we need to raise the issue of the vacant post and the page. I don't know, coming again, raise the issue. But here also, from your own, you came with the issue of leadership. So, to me, that's the kind of machine. Because there are no vacancies that are out there. So, who do you? You refer to who? Because there's no leadership. Vacancies are not filled. And then also, to me, I take it as a contradiction. And then also, we're having a lot of instruments of encouraging within the department. For an example, we have an internal audit. And then we have a risk management. If they do have a risk management, if they don't have, I don't know. Which is supposed to bring highlights and red lights in case of any emergency. Next question, were they compliant to you? So I think it will come to us, I need to ask them. Were they compliant so that we avoid this frequent which you spoke about that they've not changed? Because you also indicate you touch the issue of root causes, but there's no response by the management, and also the instability of the community and the lack of consequences of poor performance and transgression. The reason why I'm raising it is because of your own interest. So it means to help us in order to help ourselves. Over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, James. In terms of responding to the first three questions, the first one around, you say something or some documents that guide an audit process, should there be pending litigation? Unfortunately, the department is required to comply with the modified cash standard, which is the accounting framework. In terms of the audit process, we audit compliance with the modified cash standard. The assets, being the in-house assets, met the criteria of being owned by the department. The issue of the litigation focused more on the transfer of the systems to the department, but not on the ownership. This matter was also, just to answer the honorable member's question, is there guidance generally? I mean, this matter was also referred to the Office of the Accountant General, which is the standard setter in the public sector. And they also came to the conclusion that this was an asset of the department and it should be accounted for by the department. So we couldn't audit in terms of whether there's any pending litigation, yes or no. We had to audit purely in terms of the accounting framework that was in place. The sampling and the impact of next year, the in-house asset is a significant matter. If you look at the financial statements of the department in the disclosure notes, it is sort of one of the higher valued items in terms of the account balances or disclosure notes. So yes, it will be audited again in the financial year. In terms of sampling, we try and so sampling is, we work on different sampling methodologies, and it could be that we select the same items, but there's numerous assets. When we're talking about the in-house assets, we talk about the system being the intangible on the one side, so it's one system. But if you talk about the hardware, there's hardware spread across the country, I mean, in terms of the desktops, in terms of the servers, etc., that is feeding into that system. So we could pick different items into the next year. In terms of insufficient records and why it wasn't picked up previously and has it been flagged previously, we have been tracking the issue of the transfer of the INATA system through various engagements in the past. It was a matter that we picked up last year through a technical consultation that we went through, and that is why it's an issue that we raised in the 15-16 financial year. If you go back to the accountant general, based on their opinion as well, they said this asset should have been recorded as far back as 2007 and 8 financial year. But it was a matter that we picked up only in the last financial year, so that's why it became an issue for the last financial year. Misstatements, was it material? Yes, it was material. In terms of the audit methodology, we calculate a threshold in terms of a RAND value to say anything above that would affect the user of the financial statement, thus being material. So in terms of the accrual that were misstated, yes, it was material, and that was subsequently corrected. In terms of the inactive assets, yes, it was material, but however, through the because of the litigation process, it could not be corrected, resulting in a modification. The issue of instabilities, vacancies in key positions, and the impact on moratorium on filling of those positions, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, I don't think I will be in a position to answer that specific question. We just assess, are there key positions, and when we're looking at key positions, we typically focus on the DDG level and above, and how is that in terms of stability and filling of those. Maybe the department can respond to you in terms of the impact that the moratorium placed by National Treasury has on the filling of those vacancies. Status of key controls, the rate under the regular, prepare regular accurate rate code. Could the secondment of the CFO have an impact on this? I would say yes, it could have an impact on it. But also you must remember that it's also assessed in terms of the records around the ENARTIS asset. So on the one side, yes, the CFO not being there permanently could have had an impact, but on the other side, you've got to consider the issue of the ENARTIS asset and whether the CFO could have prevented that situation. Lack of consequences, we haven't engaged the department in terms of consequence management as yet. It's still something that's going to happen in terms of a follow-up in the next audit. And also the issues of vacancies and how the department is progressing in terms of filling of vacancies. Those are matters that we follow up into the next cycle. At this stage, in terms of the next audit, we still have a planning stage. The next question as to why not to, or why should we not, or why could we not exclude the in-house assets from the audit process? Honorable Chairperson, as I said, it met the definition criteria in terms of the accounting framework. It is an asset that is owned by the department, and thus we audit according to the accounting framework, so we couldn't exclude it. What we did recommend to the department, and you'll note in the annual report, is a lot of detail, both in the accounting officer's report and also in the notes to the financial statement, detailing the circumstances and the difficulties that the department had in trying to properly account for completely and accurately account for the inactive assets, which is fully reflected in the financial statement. In terms of the measurable objective, are they specific and measurable? Honorable Chairperson, you'll note that we only audited 3 of the 7 programs, if I exclude the admin program. It's 3 out of 7. So on those 3 out of 7, the criteria that we use is we evaluate that in terms of the framework for managing program performance information, which is set by National Treasury. And in our view, based on the limited work that we do, we did meet the criteria of being specific and measurable. Just for those 3 programs, I cannot comment on the other programs because it wasn't subject to an audit process. We note the concerns that the Portfolio Committee had in the past about specific and measurability. But from what we've done in terms of the audit process, we were comfortable that it met the criteria of being specific and measurable. How massive was the financial adjustment? I did touch on that, the accrual and the financial for the assets. It was material. Honorable Chairperson, the impact of the cut by National Treasury on the budget on service delivery, it would be something that would be read in the annual performance report in terms of achievement of targets, and it is something I'm sure the department would touch on in detail in its own presentation as to the challenges it might have experienced due to the budget cut in achieving certain objectives that it set. I'm hesitant to comment on the issue of copying and pasting and the issue of laxity by officials of the department, because that's not something that we picked up through the audit process. As I said, I mean, in terms of performance reporting, we picked up an improving trend, both on the usefulness and the reliability. So whether the objectives were repeated, yes or no, I would be hesitant to comment. targets are sort of long term, and it would go over maybe 2 or 3 financial years. So that's why you're seeing that it could be in the future. On the issue of accruals and assets and a misstatement, I just touched that it was a material misstatement. The issue of leadership, honorable member, and who is leading. Normally when a post is vacant, there is an acting DDG, and that's why when we're talking to leadership, we're talking to the DDG himself, which is the accounting officer, and we're talking to the senior leadership, which would be the DDGs or the acting DDG. So when we're assessing who should be having a hand on what is happening, it would be those people. What are the key areas to touch upon? Well, the big issue would be the ENACO. The next issue, there has been a reducing trend in terms of irregular expenditure, which is a positive thing. We did touch on the issues of consequence management and the implementation of action plans. So I think those are the sort of things that the committee would want to be tracking going forward. Finally, on internal audit and risk management, you'll note that we've evaluated them based on our limited assessment and the impact they have on the audit process. That internal audit is there and is able to support us as the auditor general. The same with risk management. We see risk management activities taking place from where we sit as the auditor general.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Honourable members, it's very hard to have more than one. I don't know from the members whether you will have another second bite before we go to the next one. Second bite? You see, huh?
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate it. Accepting what you said in terms of the answer around United and that it was felt to be in accordance and therefore accessible under the accounting, basic accounting framework. Could you then confirm that it was not so much about an ownership issue, but more of a basic inventory issue, in that insufficient records were available, rather than an issue around ownership as it was portrayed in the scope of it? Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody? You don't have anything at this point? You can respond.
Thank you. Honorable member, just to confirm, yes, it wasn't an issue of ownership because it went through the process with, as I said, the accountant general was involved as well, and they confirmed that through reading of the contract, ownership was not the issue, it was rather the transfer of the assets. And the department recorded the assets in its financial statement, but the underlying record to support that this desktop and that server, where is it located, what's the value attached to it, that was missing in the whole picture from the audit process.
Thank you very much. That was the competition from the audit honourable members, without wasting any time, if there are no any other clarification or questions, let us allow them to be around. Let's go to the next slide, which is the briefing by the department on its annual report and financial statement for 2015-2016, including the report of the auditor general. When the one is on the chart, statements, performance, information. No, just check. I'll request that there was a general note behind.
Okay.
This is due to the effect that last time when they were here, we engaged them. When they left, the department raised some quite other concerns, which left us, you know, in limbo, taking to know that we don't know who's free who now. So today, we mustn't be misled and, you know, misquoted. We must be able to clear up issues so that if the department doesn't give us clear direction, so that you must be able to give us that direction or tell, you know, where they are, so that you can be able to put a statement so that also we alleviate the aspect that you know, the Department of State, the Auditor General normally gives them instruction, and then last week they change the instruction in terms of their implementation. Give them the problem in terms of how it's run. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. The chairperson of the committee to help you to explain the question of the committee, as well as the student teachers of the AG, the acting CG and official investment. First and foremost, we take this opportunity to express our sincere apologies for the late tabling of this report, both to the department and the portfolio committee. The delay was unfortunately unavoidable as we were standing at the bottom of the worst possible audit outcome of the disclaimer. Due to non-compliance and a hold of complete and accurate assessment of our social, for a qualified opinion based on the innovation method. The matter that involves a better battle for the innovation system between the department and the FEMA, which is currently before the court, in particular the Constitutional Court. The Ministry had to intervene and ensure an amicable solution was sought for the AG, which resulted in a number of correspondence and meetings. I want to indicate, Chairperson, we had a total of 9 meetings. 2 were led by the Deputy Minister, and 1 was myself. The other 7 was driven by the Office of the AG. After a consultation with the AG, a final audit report was issued in which the qualification of the audit opinion was clearly stated as a result of the ongoing litigation against the department. Today I'm pleased, Chairperson, to present the annual report of the department for the 2015-16 financial year. The purpose of this report is to give Parliament, the Portfolio Committee and the public in general an overview of the resources allocated to the department in broad terms, how these resources have been used in fulfilling our strategic mandate. We present this report mindful of the strategic role that we are supposed to play as a transport sector in the economic and social development of our country, South Africa, our continent, the continent of Africa, and international. In the year under review, major strides have been made towards addressing pertinent challenges facing the sector. The department in partnership with its entities and other states of government has been hard at work to ensure that the objectives of the National Development Plan are met. Vast strides have also been made with regard to work done on the legislative and policy development plan, with 2016-17 as a target for conclusion of all outstanding pending legislation. During the period under review, municipalities have continued to implement the integrated transport public transport network and the rollout of the bus transit system. We all know that Swami Johannesburg Town and George, our rail operation, was turned to the airport landing, Nelson Mandela Bay and Mbombela joining the fray in the 2015 financial year. We continue to monitor the implementation of the provincial road maintenance grant by the provinces, and Chairperson, deeper analysis of this grant will reveal that as the national grant gets increased, less and less funds are allocated by some provinces for road infrastructure. This matter needs attention of the portfolio committee. And Chairperson, we have ended up being a joke in some provinces where people are not staying in their provinces. They no longer drive on the left side of the road, but on what is left of the road. Through the modernization program in the rolling stock fleet renewal program, which is progressing well, Plata is well on course of positioning rail as the backbone of public transport. The Moloto Corridor remains a high priority for us due to various public transport and development challenges. In this regard, 2 months ago, led by the Deputy Minister, Government of the Republic of South Africa and the People's Republic of China, have mandated their 2 state agencies, which is Plata and China Communication Construction Company Limited, to enter into a memorandum of understanding. And we believe this memorandum of understanding should be able to be the catalyst to help us unlock the rail intervention in Moloto. The construction of the factory for the manufacture charges, scheduled to be completed in the next financial year. Our efforts in the standardization of costs are also progressing very well, and the turnaround strategy of the organization is beginning to bear fruit. And that is the, as a result of the deployment of the CFO of the Department of Transport in Kwanza, because we believe that some of the solutions need really the focus or to be the focus of the department. Chairperson, maritime safety remains one of the key strategic areas of focus, and the department will continue to pursue implementing the regulation safety of life at sea while intensifying our input into operation practices. This is to ensure that the sector transforms and plays optimal role within the ocean economy. You all know that this is one of the areas that we have dedicated to the Deputy Minister. In the civil aviation sector, the department has made strides on a great major strategy in ensuring that issues around civil aviation safety and security, airspace infrastructure, aviation-related environment measures, amongst others, are addressed. The finalization of the National Civil Aviation Policy and the National Airport Development Plan during the period under review are some of our major milestones. We'll continue to enhance our oversight responsibility to ensure that performance of the transport sector entities is comprehensively monitored. In the year 2016, we have started with the process to assess our structural options and benchmark with sister departments for best practice. To that end, the department has already created a central coordination function to ensure that our oversight responsibility is performed optimally and that the necessary steps are taken to support our entities. As the executive authority of the Department of Transport, we have ensured that consequence management becomes a reality in the operations of the department. There are currently senior employees of the department who are being subjected to disciplinary processes for contravening departmental policies and procedures, as well as the system. Chairperson, the inputs or these inputs were meant to introduce and provide a general overview of our annual plan for the year under review, and the acting DG will now take us through the detailed presentation, highlighting the salient issues and challenges we face. But in particular, as a ministry, we want to reflect on the vacancies. We know that we've got three DGs positions that were vacant in the last financial year, and as a present in this financial year, 2016-17, we have an additional situation of the recognition of the DG, as well as the vacancy of the DG position. So the senior leadership of the department is challenged. But I want to also take this opportunity to thank those who are holding the fort, because we have been able to create a ratio. We also have a big challenge with gender representation at SMS level. We've got about 44 women, which is 39%, and 58 men, which is 61%. So we need to really change the picture without killing anybody and without respecting anybody under struggling. We also have a challenge because the austerity measures have an impact on filling the vacant post because of the reduction of compensation budget. Chairperson, I know that in the last financial year you did commit to finalize the national road safety strategy, but because of the consultation process with NEPEC, we'll only be able to finalize that the second quarter of the 2016-17 financial year. With these viewers, I want to thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity and indicate that the acting director general will take us through the presentation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members, honorable minister, honorable deputy minister, and colleagues. Obviously, the presentation will not address some of the issues you raised with the AGs, because the president are not present for the presentation of the AGs. But maybe, Chair, with your indulgence, we can talk to one or two issues in Mr. Rambani's presentation, Chair, before we go into our own presentation, if we are allowed. We definitely think that this issue around the emergency is a big problem for the department, was summarized too much by Mr. Rambani. think the basis upon which they will treat the power accounted for the assets is because of the contract ending in 2007 and then going into the management contract. But Chair, you would know that that contract was then, as we always say, extended illegally. On the basis upon which we wanted to check over this receipt, the issues around litigation started. So we could not be allowed to touch the inner system, let alone to go where this assets in terms of hardware are deployed. So that is the predicament and the problems we had. We said in several meetings with the AD in terms of the strategy of how we are going to verify the assets of United. But at every occasion, we were then confronted by this litigation process. We're sitting here with no less than 17 court orders and interdicts. Key among them is that we should not touch the system. Not touch the court order, especially several of those. But when we made an attempt with the AG, and they went to verify some of the assets around Council Province and found them not to have been taxed, we then deployed a person who can go and show them. We are sitting here with a court order that person, if he is seen near those patients, will be confined to treatment of no less than 30 days. The person talking to you is also facing a jail term of no less than 30 days, including the CFO. So all of us, and like I said to the AD, I would have wished that this issue around contempt come when we were with them going to the to Tasima, so that they get arrested and they know that we are very serious in terms of us fearing to go to jail, but also respecting the court order because they are law. Now that is the challenge. Now, just to start back on, which is what I wanted the lady to touch on. This matter came last year, and we cited the court process, and we were not audited on the United assets based on that. This year, then the AG, when they changed to, which of course they are entitled to, we wanted to find out what has changed because nothing has changed. We are still in court. So that is the biggest challenge where MCS, the Modified Cash Standard Accounting Method, does not address instances where there are these kind of legal challenges. And this is why we are engaged in the Accountant General, so that they better in those things. Because according to the AG, they are right. They audit according to auditing standards. But the MCS, which is the standard itself, did not foresee a situation that we find ourselves in, where you are prevented to then do the work in terms of auditing standards because of court order. So that is, I just wanted to put that in perspective, because so that you are not seen to just have been neglecting this asset. Last year, they were the inactive assets plus the other tangible assets in the department. That we were serious in action, in the action plan to deal with the challenge. Those in the department were resolved, all of them. They are not there. We are left with the inactive assets because we could not touch them. Otherwise, some of us would not be here. We would be in jail. So that is the reality around the matter. I don't even want to go into the issue around ownership and control, because the inactive contract also is a very different animal. It is where provinces and NEXAR come together to provide emphasis. So the issue of ownership and control is also a matter that is grayish if you talk to responsibility. At the start of this contract, provinces contributed. So it was not the NEXAR department that procured the system using own funds. The provinces contributed because it was a national system. Now, the next step is who then owns the system. That is the matter that really, to be honest, kept us. I mean, made us to miss the deadline for submission of the annual report. I just wanted to put that in perspective, because this is the matter that we wanted to again balance off. And I'm sure the AG knows this for, and they can vouch for that, because it is not that we were not willing or wanting to. We were prevented from doing that. And out of respect of the justice system and the law, we were in that quagmire, at this point. The minister, now, that is basically the one issue I wanted to address, but the other second issue was the issue around consistency. Then the minister just indicated the fact that high ranking officials are on suspension, are facing this, others. It is based on some of these audit findings and when we investigate them further. So, an issue around consequence management, although, of course, we are not where we need to be, there are those things that we are dealing with. Chair, if it was not inactive, this department would be sitting in a very good position. Probably not a clean audit, but the best unqualified audit you can ever see. We moved from 270 pages of the management letter to around 71. And I always feel the 80, like that 71, about 6 or 7 pages, is a table around where we've not collected cell phone data. If those were summarized in a paragraph, we would have a management letter of 2 pages. So I needed to talk to that around the issue of the audit, in the presence of the 80. And just so that they don't talk both, we'll talk later on. Chair, I would want to turn to the issue around the annual report, which, as you have said, was submitted late because of the social situation. We...
Okay.
Okay.
No, Chair, I don't know what I'm going to organize your meeting. Because I think we should have a conversation around the report of the department and what the stages are and really just have a conversation and close that discussion before we go into the really the annual report. If you allow that, change, I want to ask. We are all subjected to observe the law. One of the order is given, you are expected to comply with it. Now, if there is a peer-review court order between the order of not touching or coming closer to it, I just want to find out whether the AG was not privy to the court order that in fact prevent the department from taking this to that in fact even recording there. Whether they were not privy to these court orders. And if they were privy to the court orders, how else could the department have acted otherwise in order to make sure that they achieved what needed to achieve in terms of assessment, recording of the court assets, if they are presented? And if last year the same matter was on the table, but with the understanding that there was this difficulty that included the court order, and that was then proceeding again, that was not the study acted upon because of the working of the outcome. Why was then the same procedure not followed to this particular year? So that was what has changed. Are you suggesting that there has been a change of the auditor in terms of the AG's office, or the same AG representative of the previous financial year was the same one that was auditing this year who reneged from what was in the previous year in order to avoid this particular question? Because I think unless we break the back of most discussions, we will then not come here to the understanding. Because clearly there should be, there could have been, once there is the order that prohibits, what else do you do if there is a prohibition? So I just want to understand that SDG, myself, the AG will also respond, because it is a big issue for me. It is a big issue because if the, in fact, I also want to know why was this not escalated to the AG himself about this particular discussion for proper understanding and clarity around this particular question. Consistent, following the consistency the, of last year in terms of this particular question. Thank you.
Are there other members who'd like to talk to the
concur with my colleagues because if the particular reason for the delay in submitting the document was not about ownership and the implications of any sort of assignment to under a particular heading that might have an influence on the awaiting judgment, but everything was about record keeping. Why was this particular requirement waived in previous financial years, but now this year considered as being very important?
The spoke of the predicament is not even authorized to touch this system. And you spoke of the issue of the ownership and the control. To me, and also the all this case, honourable member, I'm so happy because you suggested that the auditor general is to leave. So, what is worrying me? At whom are they accounting to? At whose budget? Because they are untouchable. Now, the initiative. The initiative. They are untouchable. At whose budget? Because, you see, it's better to hold the bull by one horn rather to say that this is untouchable and the court takes this, what. I'll set an unusual example with the auditor fund where, to an extent, there was a commission which was set by the department, which is the special commission, in order to investigate, because there was a problem. But with this one, where is the problem? Where is the problem? Because it comes back to us as members of parliament. So that we can try and have an amicable approach to assist when it comes to the commission. Who is not touchable?
From my understanding, the many years this issue has been on the table, goes back to the beginning of how the entire contract of UNATIS was built up, and how I believe the contract has been brought up in such a way that put the department in a back foot and at a disadvantage, and hence we have these problems. I'd like your comments on that.
Let's start with the AT and then AT will be
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Perhaps this last question is relevant to start off with the nature of the contract. The contract for the DOT, Building Comparison of the Contract, which was a 5-year contract, and then after 5 years you then get into management transfer, contract transfer plan, which could last for another 5 years. That is the nature of the contract. Now, in terms of modified cash standards, even if it's a BOT contract, once you build any system like that, at the completion of the system, then you assume ownership, even if somebody can manage it. That is the nature of the accounting principle that was used here, and hence the issue around 2007 by the accounting general interpretation of the interpretation of the contract. But like we have said, we know the inactive, the agency knows the inactive, the country knows the inactive. We have always been saying we cannot take ownership and control of the system. In those years, it was because of the BOT nature. But in the later years, then it becomes an issue of litigation. In 2010, in 2012, the contract was extended starting from 2010, which is what we call, in terms of the legal extension of the contract, which is not necessarily true. And that is why, Chair, there are in criminal cases, let alone the civil cases. But we would know that innocence generates a lot of money. And so, Tasima. There's no Tasima without the innocence contract. That is true. So they will always defend it with their lives. And that is why we are always in court around this place. And this is why we are, every day we are praying that we could get the judgment from the constitutional court. Because that is the final end in terms of the litigation processes. If the court can say the contract was illegally extended, then that would happen ad initio, meaning from the start of the contract. Then we can go to Tasim and bring back our assets immediately. Now, If then the court comes and says the contract, no, you legitimize this as a document, the person who extended this was a duly authorized person of the department, then we, because even that one has a 5% ended, we will then invoke the management contract amendment, chapter management. Now, either way, we then with the legal issues will be behind us, and we will enter into a process of verifying handover of assets, management of assets by the department, and in, we will have full and total control of those assets. That's the contract. Now, last year when this issue was discussed with the AG, there was a court judgment that said the 23rd of June 2015 court judgment that said the contract is illegal, within 30 days the system must be transferred to the department. We want to believe that there was a reliance on that court judgment. Unfortunately, he was not the auditor in the year under the he came now to the 10th to come and ask the audit of the issue. Now, reliance on that court judgment that this thing belongs to the department, I therefore made the AG to say, you need to account for the assets. This is why it started last year with that written through given to us, and then this year they said, no, do not fight it. But that judgment was then set aside by the Supreme Court of Appeals judgment of December 2015. So we won the first round in June, that's the department. Kasima went back to court to appeal. The appeal court ruled in favor of Kasima. And not only that, went further to say all the other orders must be complied with. Remember, there is also this order that when we say the contract is illegal, we resist to pay. We are now paying not because we are certain of the services rendered. No, we are paying because the court ordered us to do so. Hence, we are taking all that money that we are paying on a monthly basis and disclosing them as irregular expenses until the court pronounces itself. Now, well, this year when we then said to the AG, no, but you see, if the reliance, all of us are relying on the 23 June court judgment, that has been set aside. This is back to square one, as of December 2015. And we can't, you see this, the way that some of the judgments are written, they are very explicit. They say, you shall not do anything that can be purported to be the transfer of this system. And you shall not set foot at Kasima premises, or you will be confined to 30 days in jail. So those are the difficulties, and I always say this, and perhaps it's taken as a joke, but it is the reality. The AG should have gone there, and then we should have been arrested with the AG, so that we all now know that this thing is real. when we said to this, and this is the interesting part, when we said no, the audit can't be closed, because we need to resolve this matter, it come and assist us as AG. When we relate that the court judgment of June 23 was set aside by the Supreme Court of Appeal judgment, which we appealed at the Constitutional Court, and we are we still waiting. Now, the AG, at the level, at the lower level, agreed that, okay, change your notes on the financial and change the response or add to the response on the communication of finance on this matter of finances. And we then had hope that now we are getting back to last year where the AG then waived, even without the involvement of the accountant general, waived the issue around finances because of this real problem. They recognized it last year. They should say they did not.
But they recognize it, they wait back. Now, they waived and then we casted the notes and everything. Unfortunately, I think when it got to, when it got to the critical assessment, they said, no, we don't owe it in terms of court order. We owe it in terms of auditing legislation and accounting. This is why I say it is not, to be honest and fair to the agency, it is not that they were wrong. They were right. They were very right. The issue is MCS did not cater for. It catered for normal situations. It did not cater for where you have a complex legal matter like this one. And this is a matter we are still going to take up with the Accountant General. Because I don't think that this will be the first, we are the first people to deal with it. Another interesting part is that the IT audit was not done. Because the department gave the same reason. We gave the same reason and said, no, we can't go to Tasima because we are in court. So the IT audit was not done this year. But the asset, when it comes to asset verification and asset management, it was a different story. So this is why I say we were very adamant. We are not bullying ourselves. Coming in unqualified audit. We were not posted, but we were appealing, even to an extent of say, AD, tell us what we need to do. Should we take these chances and jeopardize the case? That is before the Constitutional Court on the principle of preemption. Well, there is this thing they call preemption. I don't know how to explain it. And the court can deal with you around that. We sought legal advice on that and we got it. It said, don't touch. We gave it to the AG. The AG said, fine, we see it, we sympathize with you. If it included the account of general, we sympathize with you. But hey, we audit and go to the MCS. And that is the biggest challenge we had. Chair, going forward, with or without the Constitutional Court now, we say the lawyers must look into an opinion that they gave us. Then we should get a declaratory order from a judge, not the legal opinion, from a judge who will say, I allow you to go and touch those businesses. Because we are sitting with it now, we're 6 months into the new financial year, we need to resolve this matter because the age is coming. Now we want the court to say, Tasima, you shall allow the department and the AG to do their job on the process. We are seeking that to have a charter on. But even perhaps before we do that, if the Constitutional Court judgment comes, all our problems will be behind us. Like I said, whether the Constitutional Court will rule in favor of Tasima or in favor of the department. In favor of the department, Even a big plus, because then we'll face things immediately. But in favor of Fatima, we then have to work through this issue around the implementation of a management contract. So you have an accounting principle that needs to talk to a legal man. The resolution, if you do it the other way, you are not complying with the auditing principle. If you don't go and verify the assets, if you go verify the assets, you run the risk of jail. So I've unpacked it fair, but I think the most important thing was this discussion in the AG, which I would definitely like to compare. And indicate what it is. We had the meeting with the Accountant General with the AG. In that meeting, the Accountant General said, AG, to be honest, the department is in trouble. What do you suggest? And the AG said, Accountant General, you are the standard setter. What do you say? And that's when the Accountant General also stuck to the link on the side of accounting principles. support, which I still believe that it's just that government does not take another government support. We don't know that. But if we can get this thing, the account of the MCF for you for not recognizing the legal rule that may come in the course of politics, we would be able to find a solution. But we cannot do that. We have thought that the Office of the Accountant General would mediate on this thing and tell all of us what to do. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Is that a follow-up? I wanted to give the AGC. Is that a follow-up?
You can follow-up.
Okay.
The follow-up, Chair, because the FNDG has explained, and he goes to the explanation that the Accountant General was part of this discussion, and he was sympathetic, but not sympathetic enough to understand that it's a court order that says you shall not do this. Now, I mean, I just want to understand what was the matter of life and death for that matter that has been audited now, what is the pending constitutional court and the other judgment. Why couldn't you get a whole lot of provision? You can have a special audit if there is some red flag in terms of a specific area of the department. So any time you can afford, you can say, we will do a special audit particular on this particular program in the 8 year running. What I don't understand is this matter of life and death. What is the matter of life and death? Is the matter of life? It sounds to me that the auditor there wanted to qualify the department and the need of cut was the standard. There's no standard that can overrule the court order. The standard is set. Judgment of a court order is an order that everybody has to comply, including the president. If the judgment was given to AG, would they not comply with the order? Surely they comply with the order. Like any South African would comply with the order. Now I just want to understand. Why was it not suggested that let's rather do a special audit? Of course, the auditor general will get more money for that. Special audit for this particular program once we have crossed the hurdle, once we have done the things behind it. Why is it a matter of life and death? And who was the other auditor general? The auditor general who said it was, he came in person, suggesting that the previous auditor general, there was an understanding of the auditor. So the changes also play that role. So I also want to understand the from the AG. What is the life and death issue here? That it had to be done there, it had to be qualified there and there, instead of saying, here is the problem, let's suspend it and come back to it the next audit. Obviously the next audit is already 6 months in that period. I also understand that. So to me, it sounds quite strange for South Africans. Standard set and AG not understand the implication of court order. That you can't do anything if we are barred by court. I really don't understand. Maybe what I'll be educated more in the response.
Just very quickly, just to clarify. The chief that audited us was not led by Rambali. Rambali was with us the previous year. Now there was another senior manager who came in and said, and she left. That was the end of the audit. And Rambali came to close up. And when he wanted to close up the audit, that's why we got caught into this and tangled into this place. But the other thing is very clear, Section 39. Talks about the exemption from auditing we said to the AG, why can't we use Section 79? They said it was mediated upon, it does not
the auditor, an observer under chapter 9 institution cannot close their eyes. But the same MCS has got paragraph 18 that says you can apply for exemption under extreme circumstances, and then it puts in 19 and 20 those circumstances where we were and where we are still are. We wanted to believe that we qualify for that exemption. Unfortunately, it does not rise with the auditor general, rise with the office of the accountant general. They are the people. So especially they started by saying, no, you came late. We said, okay, we came late, that says we don't have a case. And then when they were requested by the AG himself that accountant general take my team and the department, go and mediate. They then we then started those kind of discussions. But unfortunately, for some reason, and in those meetings, and this is the colleagues from the AG were there, this is where we felt sympathy from the accountant general. Unfortunately, the letter that came, there is no AG must just do their job, which is the one which is standard since way back in 2007. And we said, this is 2016, we have court order. From 2007, we might agree with you, but it was not an issue dealing with the AG. It became an issue when we are in this legal problem. And when we said, let's do it, because we want to be audited and we want to make sure that our things are in order. But if we risk, see, the issue of jail maybe is a small matter because it's there today, but we risk jeopardizing the case against Tassi, which is before the constitutional court. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Sibanda, a quick one, and then the AG will respond.
From the main name of the institution. You explain the new AG is a person, but it's a process before and then they left and then informed the new AG. But will you please clarify how does it work? Does it mean that the new AG was supposed to continue with the work which was done by the previous one? Or is that the new one?
I'm not really.
That's why I need a clarification. And then also, you see what is worrying me. Like in the issue of going forward, you said you want to talk about the accounting principles that you must talk to the legal manager. But you never told us that by when. Because if we leave it open like this, we'll remain saying, Mr. President, the challenge is the president. But if you can do by this hero that can be, I mean, more than one, you can work out.
Thank you very much. I think on these matters, let's wait for the outcomes of the court, which we will definitely say when will the outcomes be. Let's give the AG the time to respond, and then we will go to the DG. To answer some of the issues that have been raised, and then we go into the actual presentation. Probably we might have finished, but maybe before we go into the actual presentation, we may want to say, as a committee, what are the issues that we want to recommend to the AG and the department? How do we see the process going forward? Because this is a very critical matter that has to be reported to Parliament. On the principle are with proper recommendations that will be able to assist the department going forward.
Whether the medicine
Then why do you consider like the examiner? If it has been doing, we need to agree that the administration is not doing this. But we were looking, we are assessing this semester from that account. And also took into account the development of the examiner. And like what we were applying the examiner, the principle of accounting, so that we can make that not taking away the ownership of the assets after the entry account that we use. Then we made mention that if we interpret the entry, like we have to look into the form of the transaction rather than the form. We need to look at whether this asset is used to the someone not accounted for it, not by an accountant. Then we given the statement, which they also show that I am a big prospect for my house. Then we end up taking this matter to the committee, that we need to if you don't express any opinion, of course you qualify opinion and you can say I have been opinion on those particular let me that if you decide now this is not your account for them, let me that we know we have evidence that this happens now, they're not true. Then we need to raise. Like maybe like I might need to explain the qualification, like when what do we discuss in the if you finish the project, you can use the project statement to report all other assets that are disclosed. Then part of it is disclosed that it's not a free asset. When we say that we're expressing this opinion, like we are saying this contract statement is two disclosed assets that are properly accounted. But if we know that again, there are issues with the management was prevented from accounting for the asset, then we cannot explain that we gave a qualified opinion on that. But we need to say that everything is fine. And that's what we said that we are going to get accepted.
qualifying this incident that we came up with and issues.
Of a financial statement and express different conclusions on different parts and also a different period. So taking into account the PFMA requirement about the department requiring to prepare their financial statements by a certain date on a total effort or the total records of the department, which one part is the inactive effort, taking into account the accounting framework which the inactive effort meets the definition to be recognized with, and taking into account the international auditing standards on which we are required to comply with, that is how we came to this conclusion. I take into account the honourable member's comments about the what is the pressing issue, and I mean what we said was the lateness of the technical opinion of the previous year. The, I think DG was totally correct about the 23rd of June decision, then asking into a technical consultation, identifying that these assets belong to or are assets of the department. Yes, in the current year, we cannot carry on doing the wrong thing. And as I say, we needed to have expressed an opinion on a total set of financial statements. Hence, we went through the extensive process of meetings that the minister even mentioned, where the minister actually led meetings together with the auditor general. We also mentioned the issue of the accountant general, who is the standard setter, that was involved in this process. And honorable member, what you are asking for is things that I think the department also pleaded with the accounting general for is, doesn't the accounting standard, the modified test standard, make provision for these circumstances and situations? We went through the litigation process. And unfortunately, at that stage, it did not. There were no exemptions granted to the department, and hence we had to conclude that the financial statement, except for the inactive assets, was fairly presented. So we're saying except for the inactive assets, it was fairly presented. Just to touch on a few other issues, Honorable Chairperson, the Auditor General's view on court orders is we respect court orders. That is the law. I mean, we don't want to place ourselves in a position where we breach court orders, and hence we didn't enforce the requirement to go and physically verify the assets. We said department, and this was the view of the AG in the meeting led by the minister and the AG, and hopefully the minister will recall this as well. When the AG said, honorable minister, this is one issue. Let's defend this issue of the inactive assets. Let's disclose as much as we can. And I think that's what we in the department did eventually. And on that basis, we actually reported to say, look at what the accounting officer is saying in his report. Look at the detailed disclosure note. And taking into account that, read the qualified opinion. So the readers got a full view as to the challenges, and also the litigations and the various court orders that I said. So as an Auditor General, we respect court orders, and that's the position of the Auditor General.
Honorable members, what
Chairperson
Mr. Mahmoud said
provision for it in the accounting staff. That it should be one of the recommendations that we suggest as a committee. That given the totality of the situation, it can be impossible for basically for the department to comply, given that they are vast at the same time, not to come closer to this particular situation. Any outcome of the I think that that for me, those are the two things that we should be able to recognize that there's not much that the great individual that Jesus could have done to change the situation until the order is finalized.
Honorable Lucinda?
Thank you, Chair, and also thank you for putting the facts on the table. I think it clears a lot of perception and assumptions. Rightfully, the department, the actors of the status quo, which is a particular standing which the AG has had before, I'm referring to previous financial years, and where particular requirements were waived opposed to this financial year, where Erica Blue certain requirements were then actually met. And I think sooner communication would also resolve a lot. A lot of the action and inclusions was based on assumption, based on the status quo, rightfully so. But then to start communicating and rushing around, you know, crushing my meetings shortly before deadline is also pushing a bit. And I do recognize all effort in that respect to comply. But I think the sooner we, you know, you start with a process of communication around how it should be documented under which heading. But then we also have to recognize the restriction which court ordered that. So, you know, rightfully you have to comply in terms of inventory and so on, but then you need access to do so. So I would also recommend, Chair, that from this committee, we formulate under the ministers and a particular query relating to the fact that these two things can just not be married, specifically because of the court order. So I would also recommend, with the assistance of the minister, that this should be taken up higher, because it really makes for a situation which is very complicated and very awkward, which embarrasses many people that are trying hard to fix it, yet in a way it can't be fixed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think the three proposals will be captured in our report. But you see, at the center, AG is the concept build, operate, and transfer. That is at the center of everything. It was built, it's operational, but it was never transferred to the department, and hence we find this type of an impact, which actually, as the three proposals are being put forward, is an indication that we're trying to assist the department so that in the end, there can be transfer of this asset that has been, that is operational, which has been built in the name of the department. I don't know how many don't years ago, almost 14 years ago. So we take it that we're striving towards one objective of making sure that in the end, this asset will be subject to the department. FTDG, if you can fire on the barrel.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to share with that. But, now, turning back to the debate annual report, the concept of asset rotation obviously comes to the background, the performance of the private, non-financial and financial, the anticipator, governance issues, and then the area growth we need to improve, and then the acting CFO would then deal with the financial statements, the financial performance of the private. The key focus areas of the report, as we have indicated, will be performance both financial and non-financial, and I will talk to the health of the department. And in terms of whether I'm obviously we rely on the PDO's check, the this is the one area where we are in police. We are in and we are out. Both in the formulation of Tidev, but also the striving to achieve them. The overview of the transport sector in terms of the financial year, we subscribe and support and emphasize the NDP principles, mainly the issue around sanitary infrastructure, the preparation for economic growth. And then you will see that in our APP for the year under review, we do engaging activities and projects that address that overall performance of the GOT, that is slide number 54. We had a total number of 50 targets. We achieved 45. We could not achieve 5. We provided reasons for those. And that gives us a 90% achievement. And the following slide then goes to the breakdown. The following column is that of quarter four, which is basically the annual target. You'll see there that this program two, ICP at 78, and maritime at 88, that have not slid down to 92. That has to 100% achievement. The kind of range from 5 to 8 program. The next slide just shows how we have been meeting the quarterly target. Although we had the eye on the annual target, that is how we've been performing per quarter, because I think it is that performance per quarter that then made us to keep focus of the annual target. And then another breakdown in terms of slide number 9, pay programs, those that did not achieve all of the targets. Administration, the program 1, that did not achieve 1, integrated spending and certificated did not achieve 2, and so is maritime transport. And then again, we use the dashboard of the ages, not just here on the screen. But in all areas, remember we're coming from where all the projects did not attain 100% in the previous year, so there's improvement across the board. But then what are those things that we achieved per progress? In administration, for example, We did recruit and appoint specific interns across the program. We did awareness campaigns in terms of our awareness and wellness program. And we did the newsletters, we did the policy reviews and engagement with DCIS on messages and the rest. We had we have now the internal conversation structure that was approved. The departmental website has taken shape much better than the previous year. And then the most important one is that issue around the action plan for the AG. I think this was already came even in the presentation of the AG. Around this area of the detective findings. We can safely indicate, okay, I think we've cleared the backlog for the other two years, yes, we left with one of the two years, yes, and we want to believe that this year also, because the issues are not that many, as I've indicated, in terms of the type of the management data, we would be able to address some of these issues, including the inactive issues. We would want to find a resolution into that issue. That's how we deal with the issue of the action plan of the AG. We normally do come here in terms of the continuing on that area, and we'll do some call forward again. Program two, the funding framework was completed and approved. The road space strategy, the road fund strategy was approved. The fair bill did go to cabinet, but cabinet directed us to meaningfully engage with DPD on the issues around the Transnet trade and related issues. So we are talking to the DPE in that regard as we speak now. The PSP, our private, which forms the chapter of government, was then sent to the National Treasury for consolidation. And if I'm not mistaken, that the whole framework for PSP was ultimately approved by government. The green transport strategy was successfully developed, and now with the draft white paper on rail transport policy has been finalized. The guidelines for rail economic regulator, the president strategies, the railway sector regulators, this is where rail actually we have a certain terms of what they expect. Might not mean that they are this document, the final product, but the target sets for the year under review have been made. And so did the road transport. We have now the paper, we sent to cabinet, then consulted upon, and then the project has been monitored, basically here, the monitoring reports and reporting on progress in terms of what we set ourselves. We are doing, we did very well last year, we're doing very well. The ARCO bill, the target was to submit to cabinet, we did submit to cabinet, and this is the bill that is now before the portfolio committee as we speak. Civil aviation, the National Civil Aviation Policy and the NADP, the Airport Development Plan, were finalized, submitted for cabinet for further consultations. Air services agreements were reviewed with the following countries: Egypt, Guinea, Guinea Bissau, Mauritius, Curacao, Namibia, Turkey, Australia, Israel, during the period under review. I think we have set ourselves six and then we overachieved a few bits. The Civil Aviation Amendment Bill has been completed, and then the issues and the ones around UMTAT were also successfully monitored together with the Israeli government. Maritime, two key issues. Cabotage structure and cabotage bill were incorporated into the maritime policy, which is being discussed. And the African Maritime Charter was approved by cabinet in May 2015. Public transport, the rural transport strategy is done and dusted. The land transport strategy, as we know, chapters and what, I think very early in the year. We have slightly overachieved on the number of vehicles, although the number looks as very little as 3226, but based on the price, we set ourselves a target that we then achieved towards the, by the end of the year then. Turnaround plan is finished, finalized, requesting it, once taken to cabinet for approval. I don't know whether we'll get that approval based on the community. Now, the underachieved area, the issues around waste and fuel are not necessarily as self-evident as indicated, but I think the reality of the matter is that Parliament has also entered into the fray on compensation of employees, in that what has now been approved for the very first time in government is called specific, what is that phrase? Specific appropriated, exclusive and specifically appropriated item of the budget, COE, meaning that the city, even if we had the money in the department to add onto compensation, we can't and President also has indicated that they can't need to come to Parliament because it is now in legislation. So there is this that feeling that government said, and it affects unfortunately those departments that have high vacancies. We cannot act. We have enough for the departments for this year. We are talking and struggling with the National Treasury to sort us out in the outer year, because that is where we might not even be able to cover general salary adjustment for other employees that are already there based on the headcount. So that is the issue. But we I'm not even skeptical to say the people we talk to give us a very good ear. Based on what we've said earlier on, because some of these people will say they give you a good ear, and then when they start to respond in writing, something different. ITP chair, we had challenges with the NetMap, because if you say everything speaks now, NetMap has been approved. And then the issues around the Erasmus Hub are being discussed, and what we believe will be finality on the American transport policy, like I said, in the advanced stages, that was supposed to have been achieved, but then it is not because of the political transition processes. Cabotage policy, which was deliverable on its own, is now subsumed into the maritime policy development process, so it forms part of the maritime policy. Slide number 21, again, 53% were filled. The commission to call the target of 110. So at around 50%, we then face the reality around the financial resources. The 58 in terms, then that is that, the 53, that includes the ones that we deploy to district municipalities from the public transport side. And then one to two other ways for managers that still have done a review at various levels and various stages. And then 454 underwent courses, short courses, to name them. The biggest status in the department is the minister's indicator. We are 44% male and 56% female. It looks very good, but once you unpack it in terms of level, in terms of seniority level in the department, it gives a picture that is not so good. We have more women in the department, generally speaking, but you find areas where even at this level, 100% male. At the chief director also is lagging behind, but as a general director upwards, we are 68% male. Those in brackets are the targets for the previous year, just to show whether we have improved or not. And then a 44% female at SMS level. We are at 1.88% in terms of disability. That falls short of the required target of 2%. As I've said, I was disabled for about 6 months. They had added compared with the 2%. Matters of governance, we do have the risk management policy, the framework, we do have strategies, we do have the risk register, we are mitigating against the risk, and it has been looked at by both ESCO and the audit committee, and they are quite happy. We are reviewing and updating based on the new strategic planning processes, IPPP processes for the coming year. So we are doing another proper. But along the way, obviously, there are these realizations that those that we then pick up to the year. So now we are updating the risk register. Labor relations matters. There are three hearings in the year under review, two final written warnings, and then the one was found not guilty. Grievances, the people complaining about other supervisors or other staff members 21 were lost, 16 resolved, 5 not yet resolved at March 31. Dispute, 6 lost, 1 appealed and 5 dismissed. We lost 0 men working days, or pattern-based working days, as a result of strike in the last year. And then 2 people are out of position. Minimizing conflict of interest. We do dispute, and I'm sure we have 100% compliance in terms of financial disclosure for SMSs. Obviously, there could be issues that are picked up by the peers in the data highlighted to the department that we deal with those. And then with the SBT4, we're now looking at it very closely. This is where now the political interest just to gather the old officials that could be doing remunerative work without permission are all. The audit committee complies with the statutory obligation in terms of meeting. And then they also adopted the audit committee charter and approved various plans from internal audit. And we want to believe that internal audit is improved much. Rambali and the colleagues from the AG, who started to remind us of the work of the internal audit, because they have improved in terms of capacity to that space and that they are improved by the day. Other areas that would want to see improvements, enhance the structure and coordinated control planning, obviously through the planning forums and related structures. But this approval of the network would then create a sense of focus throughout the center and across the sphere. Because then it becomes, if you look, it's like a blueprint for the center goals. I think our best practices, deliberations and performance information and related issues. We've got the mechanism where we, towards in the final quarter, we spend the majority of time peer reviewing one another and close monitoring of the target across branches and trying to kill those that might be struggling so that we all then achieve and have a sense of achievement. Those are the issues that talk to the annual report on the non-financial performance side, Honorable Chair. And then we'll then we'll deal with the annual financial statement. But Chair, I think in 30 seconds, it is obvious that you, suppose we use one template, it's obvious that you see things that might be just cut and paste in annual reports in and year out. Mainly because, of course, they are the same. I'm looking here at the legislative mandate, policy mandate, and related issues. You would, for obvious reasons, even within the content of the report, see reasons that you pretty much the same. The area that comes to mind, I think it's around page 107, where you would see us consistently cut and pasting the reason that says municipal financial year ends in June, so reporting is up to contractor. I think that is the one phrase that has been repeated several times in the annual report. But because it is so for all municipalities. Will then take us through the financial information of the department chairperson, that including the matters of errors by the age. Thanks.
Thank you, Jay. On the financial cycle, I briefly tried to comment you through the report of the Auditor General, and then the report of the accounting officer, several issues there. talk you through figures in the financial statements, the statement of financial performance, some breakdown of expenditure per project, then the statement of financial position, and some of the important notes in the annual financial statement. In the report of the Auditor General, as we all know, there was a qualified opinion because of his inadequate assets. What the department has done, and I won't elaborate too much on this, is that we have declared all those assets under investigation, and we found ourselves in a position that we do nothing and wait for the order of the Constitutional Court, we might find ourselves in exactly the same position next year, not being able to disclose assets and get information. What we have done, we started the process of obtaining a declaratory order to compel both the department and the service provider to work on obtaining proper assets of inmates for disclosure in the next financial year. Moving over to next item, we mentioned already under predetermined objectives, there were no material findings regarding the usefulness or and reliability of those programs which were subjected to audit. The annual financial statements, as was mentioned, they were missed statements to accruals which were corrected, and the United States did not be corrected. Just to elaborate a little bit about the accruals, we learned a few lessons in the past couple of years. In the previous financial year, the accruals were understated because of overseas trips that were not included in accruals. The problem there is that in the Department of International Affairs and Cooperation, DIRCA only sent us claims for overseas trips about 3 months, on average about 3 months later. What we've done in the current financial year, we resolved that problem by keeping trace of those trips that were undertaken and not yet claimed by DIRCA. Where we've gone wrong was we have two systems in the department, the LOGIS system, or the Logistical Information System, and the BAS system, the Basic Accounting System, comprising the accounting record. And we obtained accruals both from the LOGIS and the BAS system. And on LOGIS, there were a number of payments which at year end were rejected, and therefore not included in the LOGIS accruals, where we compiled BAS accruals, we exclude the LOGIS items. We learned that lesson now. Now we include the LOGIS accruals in the BAS, and we eliminate the implications just to explain how we addressed that issue. And then under expenditure management, there was a conclusion that the effective steps were not taken to prevent potential expenditure. As was mentioned, we investigate all those cases that warrant investigation. We don't condone any irregular expenditure unless disciplinary steps have been taken. And to be taken, we need to finalize some disciplinary steps to take matters forward. Going over to the overview of financial results on the revenue in the report of the accounting officer. And this is an area where we can never be totally accurate. We have some trends on the smaller items of revenue, but you will see under under interest, dividend, and rent on land, the estimate was only 150,000. The actual amount is 205 million due to unexpected dividends received from the Airports Company of South Africa. And under financial transactions and assets and liabilities, we estimated about 80 million to be received from either provinces or municipalities in unspent conditional grants. We only really received 3.7 million in that item. That explains the major deviation from our estimates from the revenue at the beginning of the year. Moving over to program expenditure, and this is how the department ended up on its program expenditure after having shifted funds across programs. program administration, had an appropriation of 422 million, spent 420 million, and underspent 1.3 million on a project which was requested as a rollover. We'll see some details further on. Integrated transport planning, effectively spent its budget. Rail transport, from a budget of 18.3 billion, it underspent 5 million on a few projects. Road transport, from a budget of 23.1 billion, it underspent an amount of 275.7 million, and that amount was specifically an amount withheld from the policy for ZuluNatal from the commercial road maintenance crop. Civil aviation, underspent by 5 million on a number of projects. Maritime transport, virtually spent its budget, and in public transport, we ended up underspending 6 million on a number of projects, bringing the total under expenditure in the department to 294.3 million rand at the end of the year, which includes 275 million that was withheld from the promise. Moving to some of the explanations, administration, the under expenditure of 1.3 million was for a project and the rollout benefit scheme, which we requested as a rollover. Integrated transport planning and more inspected budget. Rail transport underspent on a number of projects, white flag rail transport, establishment of rail economic regulator, national rail safety amendment board, national rail safety strategy and transport strategy. It seems here as if it was an underspend, but the program achieved 100% of its targets, and these were longer term projects. So the underspend did not affect the achievement of objectives of the development. Moving over to the next slide, road transport spent 121.4 million on e-vehicles, which is not budgeted for. Also overspent on the Ambassador project and underspent the 275 million, which we mentioned on the commercial road maintenance draft. These over expenditures were made good by shifting funds across railways, and we will get to the bottom of slightly later. Civil aviation also underspent on a number of projects, underspent on watchkeeping services, and then spent 2.1 million for the management of the data airport by the Air Force Company of South Africa. To the next slide, maritime transport. It overspent its budget by 36.6 million. This was a once-off payment to the International Oil Pollution Fund, which the government of South Africa joined in the past year, and then also underspent on a number of projects, the sodium tugboat services, a few shortfalls were also likely by shifting the funds. Public transport, underspent on mainly a review of the tax recapitalization model of 56 million, implementation of integrated public transport network plans, municipalities, 8 million and 82.6 million of the scrapping of taxes. At the end of the day, from the savings, public transport shifted 184.3 million towards other programs to cover the over expenditures. Over to the next slide. Here we can see a breakdown of the violence. The violence of shifting of funds across programs. And you can see on the left the program name and then the standard item, economic classification, compensation of employees, goods and services, machinery and equipment, etc. And also showing the total funds that were shifted. Positive figures mean funds were shifted to that program, and negative figures mean funds were shifted from that program. Briefly, and it's explained further on, administration, a total of 58.7 million was shifted towards administration, basically because of expenditure on the state funeral and on an increase in the foundation structure. Very little was shifted to integrated cost planning, only 681,000. Similarly, rail transport only shifted 764,000 away from the compensation of employees to balance that out. The largest chunk went to road transport, 122.2 million, basically to cover the 121 million over expenditure of United. Maritime transport, total of 22.6 million, shifted to the program to make good, as you see, the foreign government's demand at 36.6 million, shifted to foreign government. This shows the total of moving over to the next slide, we got high-level explanations of the environment, compensation of employees, relatively small variances which were shifted across programs to cover over expenditures in certain programs. Goods and services, the major overspending were in administration due to the cost of state funeral, but also United. Funds were shifted to make good those shortfalls. Machinery and equipment, particularly in program 1, was overspent because of the reclassification of leases, certain leases, total cost of capital expenditure rather than current expenditure. We may shift funds from current to capital expenditure, so we could shift funds to make those over expenditure in the future. Moving to the next slide. As I mentioned, foreign government was overspent because of the amount paid to the International Oil Commission Fund. And as also was overspent in red taxes was cut. And those savings were used to pay for the expenses of other programs. Moving over to rollover that we requested, only the two rollovers, 1.3 million for the road accident benefit scheme and 275 million. That was withheld from the province as a minister. The 275 million was requested and was approved as a rollover in the adjusted budget for the current year, but not the 1.3 million. Moving over to the next page, under authorized expenditure, as mentioned before, we didn't incur any unauthorized expenditure in the current year. But as at the end of the financial year, the amount is 2.3 billion. And this comprises of two distinct items. Firstly, unauthorized expenditure because of over-expenditure of bus subsidies going back to 2009 and 2010 of 1.2 billion. And overspending because as a result of indicators of 1.16 billion. Incidentally, we received the Finance Act which approved the allocation of 1.2 billion to the department for the bus subsidy. So the bus subsidy unauthorized expenditure will be made good by that appropriation and will disappear from the department's books in the current financial year. Moving to the next slide, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. As at the end of the financial year, we had 1.4 million rand in the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, comprising of a few larger items. Firstly, services paid for not delivered, in which litigation was underway, 546,000. We received the legal opinion and the litigation. There was another court settlement on this matter, so this issue will be resolved in the current financial year. There was an overseas trip that was undertaken. It exceeded the authorization by 659,000 rand, which was under investigation. We know that there were disciplinary hearings which would have included that item, which may have been concluded now. We'll find out what is happening to decide what to do, how to deal with that particular item. Other fruitless and wasteful expenditure under investigation, 61,000. to be written off, 87,000, and to be recovered. Just to elaborate on this, most of these are no show, and we have a no show policy that we need to take, and numerous cases in which we decide whether to write off or recover. And the circumstances warrant the no show, and just as it then the information, we can write, we recommend the write off. If there was negligence to recover, the money from the we move to the next slide, irregular expenditure. For the current year, we incurred 123 million as irregular expenditure, of which 21 million was relating to inmates from the previous financial year. Also relating to the previous financial year, we incurred an amount of 55,000 for advertisement placed without approval. And in the current year, 5 cases were declared irregular because of the scope of 2 contracts and the period of 3 contracts were extended. Disciplinary steps were taken in 2 cases and it's underway in the other 2 cases. Moving ahead, we just listed here some of the sponsorships received in the department. In the annual report, there's a very, very long list of sponsorships received, totaling just over 8 million for the year. What we've done here, we listed the sponsorships received from a related party, which amounted to 3.8 million. And this is from the related parties in this case are sponsoring for agencies and the of the department. Then we move to events after the reporting date. Ordering the reporting of the government officer, the next slide. Here we mentioned that after the year end, there was a court order for an agreement that the department would pay 104 million to the inmate service provider. Was made an order of court. The department had paid the amount because the road traffic management corporation was unable to pay. We have not yet recovered the money from the road traffic corporation. It seems that it is unlikely at this stage that this will be recovered. Under other matters, we explained in some detail the matter surrounding the inmate's assets. In total, the cost of development of the inmate system was 404.9 million, comprising of both movable and intangible assets, and the grand total of all the inmate assets that were taken up in the financial statement. On the next slide, we explain the dispute that we raised in the Office of the Auditor General, etc., and that we declared these assets under investigation in financial process. Going over to the statement of financial performance, on the next slide, this might be a small review. Indicates the revenue of the department comprising of the annual appropriation of the budget allocated to the department and other revenue received, of which the single highest figure for this year was dividends from the Airports Company of South Africa, and it lists expenditure per economic classification, the current expenditure, the total cost of the subsidy of 52.2 billion. Payments for financial assets of 3.3 million are amounts written off in the financial year and ending up with a surplus of 504 million for the year. And the surplus of 504 million essentially made up of the under expenditure of 294 million against budget and the revenue that's involved. Moving over to the next slide, showing an expenditure breakdown for the year. These are transfer payments, and the single biggest transfer payment is to the passenger rail agency of South Africa, TRASA, at 18.2 billion, followed by the African from Birmingham College, which includes the disaster management grant. The public grant was Network Grant, 5.9 billion, which is applied to municipalities, not mainly metropolitan areas for public transport. And then the public grant for operations grant, 4.9 billion, which is the old bus subsidy. The very last block, smallest one there, are all the other grants. So the largest figure was actually in capitalization of 248 million going, and then the rural road asset management grant, 96 million. You may remember some years back, the 9 million that grant grew quite substantially to manage the rural roads. And then foreign organizations, 46 million, of which the largest figure was 46 million paid to the oil prevention fund. Grants for finance also total 97.9% of their expenditure, and the grant total of 52.2 billion. Moving over to the next slide, so other expenditure other than grants for finance, effectively goods and services, the largest figure, more than double that of compensation of employees. And then the machinery and equipment, and now the little small to show this slot. So to give one an idea of what expenditure looks like for the year. Going over to the next slide, what we've done is just listed some of the expenditures per project for the department. The first program, administration, what you see over the various components of administration. Broken down. The next slide was expenditure for program 2, integrated transport planning. This is a program with the biggest number of projects, and some of the larger projects there is expenditure on the National Transport Planning Data Bank at 8.6 million, and then a number of projects just over 2 million, and updating the white paper, over to the rail transport on the next slide. A few were projects, there were some under expenditure mentioned, but these were mostly longer term projects. Moving on to the next slide, rail transport, the single biggest spend there on E-Hakers, 121 million, and then the program that happened from Samba Songke of 36.9 million. What the program does here is assist with this program with six provinces to convince the road management grant, monitoring and deciding when to spend the money and how to spend it. Over to the next slide, civil aviation, single biggest project, the Washington Services of 46 million. Next slide, maritime transport, its biggest project. The one of oil pollution prevention, 44.9 million. Over to the next slide, public transport, also spent on a number of projects. Biggest project, the taxi scrapping administrator at 107 million rand, and a number of smaller projects. And we move over to the statement of financial position, and in some of the next slides we'll just indicate some of the major figures there. As you can see, the very first figure, unauthorized expenditure, no increase from the previous financial year. The second biggest figure of prepayments and advances of 46 million, the receivables of 51 million in the current financial year. Investments, which are in shareholding in the large public entity. Under liability, mainly those funds and revenue to be surrendered, and the bank overdraft, 2.1 billion. The bank overdraft represents, in a way, the unauthorized expenditure, which is funded from a bank overdraft, and the total viable group. $2.4 million and the non-government liability is $49,000. Moving over to the next slide, some of the larger figures I explained. Prepayments include $58.3 million paid in advance for the discussion of taxes. The receivables include $22.2 million owing by the African Maritime Safety Authority and $6.8 million owing by the Road Traffic Management Corporation. We are now looking at writing off the amount owing by the African Maritime Safety Authority because it seems unlikely that the agency will be able to refund the money to the partners. And the bank overdraft decreased by $278 million, mainly because of the under expenditure of the bond. Now moving over to notes to the financial statement, just some highlights. On goods and services, we just highlighted the major areas where there were variances in expenditure on items within goods and services. You see there that advertising, we spent much less in both advertising and communication in this year than in the previous year because of less expenditure by the communication component in this department. Computer services, we spent more on software licenses, new software licenses, as well as the renewal of software licenses. On consultant services, we spent much less because we didn't pay as much for the email system in the previous year. On the next slide, we continue showing some of the major deviations. Operating leases, lease payments decreased because of the increased cost of the premises that we are renting. We also had the travel of subsistence, less expenditure on state funerals and other transfers than in the previous year. Normally, the department had to find ways of funding these matters by shifting funds or by reducing for unforeseen and unavoidable expenditure because these cannot be budgeted for. And other operating expenditure, much less because we didn't moving over to some other notes to the financial statement. Debt written off included $2.75 million for unsubstantiated claims on the RPC. I can elaborate on this. There is an impairment of investment because the net asset value of Prasa is $2.9 billion less than the value of the investment shown in the statement of financial. Accruals include claims for the payment of outstanding invoices to eBay of $104 million, which we have already mentioned, and contingent liabilities include the claim for extra works on the cargo import of $26.7 million. This highlights the major issues in the financial statements. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bande.
What
compared to the other experience from in this project. Also, Chatham, the Eritreans have the noise. Once you get that issue, it looks like it's no longer called the app or the framework. It's converted into the feasibility study and option analysis. Does it meet the same objective that was going to be met by the framework? Or this is a new plan altogether? The content is still the same. What are we dealing with here? So that we have clarity in the distinction. Thank you, Chairperson. That's what would be my opinion of the community. Chairperson, please allow me to comment. I was scared when this report was not being submitted somehow. But finally, we upload that. So, person number one, may you please take us on board with this bad subsidy? No, there is a thing which is worrying me, which may support. In particular, in our era, former one again, which are traveling, bringing to Pretoria, where you are giving the money, part of money, but the buses which they are using is very old. Very old. To an extent, Chairperson, if you may remind me, you still remember the company which we used in Pretoria, which is in demand now. Some people, they saw this company as the best, which is providing new buses. Autopec, yeah. With the Autopec buses, which are very, very much advanced. So where is the problem? Because the thing is this, which is, as long there is no proper monitoring where you are investing your money, forget it. Status quo will remain the same. And then also, may you take us on board, you were talking about the issue of targets which were never met. Why? The targets which were never met. Why? And then also, I'm a little bit concerned about the cases, ongoing cases, whereby the department is bringing the mind of the case decision of things continuously so. Why are we spending so much money? And the case, you spoke about case, if I'm not mistaken, you mentioned it was on your flight to 49. You spoke about two cases which have been outstanding. What are the financial implications? Therefore, and then also, Chairperson, in slide number 51, you spoke about an agreement which was signed by the Department of an amount of 104 million. Can you please elaborate further why for so much money is that agreement of 104 million? Too much. And then you spoke about the issue of slide number 51. I don't know whether our behaviors they were being used by some of the members, but they know sometimes it has had a system. I'll cite an example. Let's say the minister is going to launch a project somewhere and it simply needed to go somewhere. That you can justify it. But exactly, what do you mean? What do you mean? Then how much was spent in that regard? And also, you spoke about who was trying to deny the issue of unauthorized business and waste food and regulations. Then under unauthorized food and waste, there's been
There is a
bar on the senior management and the current officer that assurance color code, which is also color code, suggests that there's a concern, there's a concern that this is registered around this. And I just want to find out what claims that the city says that they have to die. And then quickly on the IT SPD, on your account office report, earlier on you told about the 17 court case is not there in the case. But when you write it in your report, you let say minutes. I was wondering why you were using that, were you concerned about the wrongness of the number 17, or not 17 and more than that. Okay, the other question just wanted to find out here is there was a slide there from the financial about the public expenditure issues about recorded under the study of no show or the cancellation of the ILSF over the trade and so on. I just want to find out the reason that there's a figure there that I can even say who are the culprits. Maybe you still dealing with the people that is chief on that particular aspect. But the question I want to ask in terms of that is, you talked about writing off. Now I just want to find out the question about condemnation issue. Now if you say someone has not paid for overseas, is it because there was a decision to cancel that trip? Or is it somebody just deciding not to wake up and go on the flat? So I just want to find out where does that take us in terms of the condemnation, take us to the condemnation. If the decision has been made like that you are not going to go. The last question, you did speak about the management of the transfer performance and that you want to keep assisting them. And I didn't find in your comments or explanation on the 5.9 billion, the facing cities, the public transport. You know, that's one of the concerns that we continue to with you about, when you talk about DORA and you talk about MOU, but all those are not sufficient in managing the one transfer, whether the money is used for the intended purpose. I just want to find out today as we go forward, what are the other mechanisms? But just that you did say that the DORA did not make for meaning that you have more control over the transfer in the law. But then you have the mechanism that you create for the MOU. But I just understand that I still have a concern about the question of transfer, particularly around the issue of internalization. And how do you manage that? But is that just for the conclusion of the matter of the presentation?
Thank you, Chief. I would like to know what happened to public transport in terms of Program 7 in the index, apart from a lot of other spelling mistakes and, you know, maybe cosmetic care, but it is disturbing and it creates a wrong impression. My second question, in terms of the rollover that was allowed on the road maintenance grant for KZN, something like 200 175 million, whether we have a standardized criteria in terms of which these rollovers are considered, or whether this is handled case by case. Recalling similar circumstances of consideration of rollover, where it was quite different, yet also allowed. So this is the whole question around standardization of criteria. Third question, commenting on or addressing the situation of so many vacant positions, which a lot of them relate to suspension and also related to that very long and drawn out durations of investigation. Isn't there a mechanism through which one could speed up the process? Because this in a way then also transgresses in terms of very particular legal elements, and I'm referring to the Public Service Act of 2001, where it's very clear that anybody in the acting capacity should not exceed 12 months. And in a way, we're shooting ourselves in the foot, because you know the drawn-out investigations is subject to legal and all sorts of processes. Yet on the other hand, service delivery is hampered, and then you sit with an act that wouldn't allow you to have somebody in that position for more than 12 months. The fourth question relates to a particular program, maritime, since we have our deputy minister here, and the one on cabotage, where I see we've spent 1.9 million, close to 2 million, in just adding one chapter to the green paper on national maritime transport policy. So maybe you could, deputy minister, give us a bit of content in terms of this particular legislation, so that we have a feel for the justification of those 2 million for adding one chapter in that act. Thank you.
I will
handle
it.
Thank you.
Chair, let's welcome the presentation from the department, and also welcome the Minister Tarasan. Welcome, Minister. And I think that you are better now. So only pray for your presentation will be not well. Well, Minister, my worry is in relation to the vacancies that are continuously not being filled. I've just got to the sense that your 2012-2013 financial year, you shifted about 1.5 million euros for compensation, and 2013-14 you shifted 28.9 million, and this past financial year you shifted 22.3 million. It is the shifting of this million of compensation of employees. I'm trying to understand what is the reason behind this, because I guess since from then we've been complaining one of the same thing, our issues of feeling of seeing important vacancies. But there are spaces that I've seen them when the acting DG presented in terms of the violation, the things there. It speaks of our conduct, our man and everything, following our own. That are starting to seem to know. But if you can be able also to give a specific clarification, what happened to the top position that the RDGs were suspended. We still don't see them, and
what is happening in terms of the DGE as well. Because what we've taken notice when we continue to engage with this like that is that the lack of capacity because of insufficient human resource is the bigger strain towards the current decisions that are so that you can be able to know and understand how long are you going to have this and but what else is necessary that you can be able to do in order to assist you, in order to solve out these challenges. Because indeed, if they are not being dealt with, the department will continue to suffer. You may feel as if you are trying to steer the ship with limping, but obviously you won't be able to achieve your maximum potential as we know this department has no good performance in that aspect. So if you can be able also to assist us in terms of that front. And the also challenge of that has been mentioned by the report that about 2.4 billion that has been incurred in terms of the regular expenditure. I'm trying to try and check whether are you having any plans to try and address that so that you don't find such happening next year. Because, you know, as we're continuing to engage Minister with some of the documents, we're also at some other stage we're making some lighter notes to start saying as we continue to incur this regular expenditure, because these are public documents, they get things seen by the public outside there, that is including the students. But once they see that kind of things happening, the department will start saying, you know, but money is in a crisis, yeah, it's a long time. That's why in Atama fees, a lot of them are sold. So that you can be able to also to try and avoid such kind of things that can be able to happen in the future, because our total cleanup of the system must always prevent issues of say other outside people misunderstand what happens in the meeting. Moreover, I think the issue of Tasina, if you can try and push engage with the Department of Justice, Minister of Justice, try and check whether can't we find a suitable closer date of the High Court that gives this important so that we can be able to try. Otherwise, we know and understand, and we can see that there is political willingness within yourself, but the only thing that is left is on the other side, so that you can be able to get out of this trouble.
One minute each. Mr.
Sabande
and Mr. Ramataka, 1 minute, I'm looking at the watch.
You see,
You mentioned in your presentation that there was over expenditure of 639,728 for the overseas checks. Now, I wasn't sure whether you, because you didn't explain whether it was a problem of the guesstimate that informed the check or the rand dollar exchange that mid-air. The rent went low and then the dollar increased and generated this amount of money. So it can explain what you think of. I know you're saying that this didn't even happen, but what informed that kind of thing? It sounds like a kind of boost.
Thank you very much. Before the minister is saying anything that the treasury is a comparable material. You wanted to say something? Oh, I thought like
in
2007 treasury indicated that RTMC will collect the money give to the department, and then the department will channel the money into revenue, and subsequently that has changed such that RTM collects and utilize the money in terms of improving functionality in every other related matter. Is there an indication or is there a treasury known CFO which is telling you to follow the list that you're following now? Or what exactly is happening? Because I'm saying this, I know probably the agency is in the draft, so that in case there is nothing that is guiding you, you should be able to go and look into it and correct. The last one from me is the repeat findings that are there. In terms of the supply chain, the economic statement, legislative delay, HR, is there a program that you're following to make sure that this the repeat findings don't recur into the future, or a template that you're using? If there is a template that you're using, can you also have an opportunity of having this type of a template, so that we can be able to hold whoever is responsible for particularly the finding acting DG. We are able to also as a committee hold them accountable to make sure that in future it doesn't happen. Minister, if you can. honourable members and the colleagues let me indicate that when we leave here the plant is ready. What look? Mati are here in March ready. That is where we're going to have our lunch. I will not give you the thank you, Minister. Thank you, Chairperson. Conscious of the requirement that if the Ministry and Department doesn't answer all your questions, they can be raised through the questions to the Minister in the House. And also conscious of the time issue, I would just request it from select areas. Chairperson, Honourable Sibande raised an issue about the Plan 67 and ELSAP. And I reiterate and like, whilst it is a matter that will be reflected on by the acting DG or the acting CFO, but you remember that in 2014, around September, there was that crash in Nigeria that therefore called on government to respond. This matter refers to those aircraft, not necessarily aircraft chartered for Minister or Deputy Minister or for the Department. I just wanted to clear that this is the responsibility that we always charter flights to the tune of about 40 million. The other issue is Chairperson's subsidies to provinces not to be shared. I just want to honor, not that one, the ongoing cases of litigation. Why so much money? Chairperson, I think since my arrival, and Deputy Minister was attached to the in the Department of Transport, we've been dealing with one litigation after the other. And they don't come cheap. And one thing that we have acknowledged is the inability or the capacity challenges we have in-house in terms of legal matters, but also the challenges of the capacity of the Office of the State Law Advisor, because we always have to go outside. Some of the requirements is labor lawyers, and some of them are commercial because of the network that we have to deal with. And we have realized, and I think myself and the Deputy Minister even said that the Department needs to make sure that all officials must undergo a course on law for non-lawyers, because everything that we deal with is always subjected to a legal opinion. Is it for the Department, but also at times for the SOEs. So you remember that when the SOEs are cited and the Minister is cited, it would mean that we need to respond. So it is with regard to those particular issues. The issue of vacancies, I want to acknowledge that the matter has been escalated, and we have also engaged with the Minister of Finance. Because of the mini budget, we couldn't get the time to have a bilateral, because we thought that we needed to have a bilateral. But in the last financial year, there was a misunderstanding between the Department and Treasury based on a letter that came from Treasury that said no post must be filled. We argued and ultimately resolved myself in the Deputy Minister, because had it been the case, even the post that we have advertised and now held interviews for in terms of the three DG positions, we wouldn't have done that. So I think it is important that we know that even the post that they have indicated that they filled is because of the decision that we have made. The other issue that there is a regression, I want to indicate, unfortunately, the team from the agents of the president, but they were clear, even in their own presentation, that they had it not been for the e-native space, the Department would have done well. And the misunderstanding that led to the 9 meetings that we held with the agents' office is primarily related to the president. So I don't think the issue is that there has been a regression. But we do take note, because we did indicate the capacity has been improved, appointments have been done in the internal audit unit. We also believe that we need to strengthen each and area of the call center area. But the acting DG did indicate that there is a plan in place to reply and respond to the agent's inquiry, and also the statement and that we made. I'm sure in the slide that, I don't know the numbers of the slide, the AG did in this input make a presentation with regard to a slide that shows the level of commitment and responsiveness. And I want to indicate that myself and the Deputy Minister have made it possible that at all times. And that is why you find that in one of the meetings between the department and the AG, the meeting was actually chaired by the Deputy Minister. It shows how we take the methods of accounting for the resources that we get very serious. There's a statement related to the Plaza being a beneficiary. Captain, I'm sure you would have noted that there is a semblance of harm in Plaza now. But also the fact that you said we need a turnaround plan. The previous acting CEO could not do that. And I would believe that, yes, there's pressure on the part of the department, but you would know that if Plaza is ailing seriously, the department will not do anything. So it is better for us to make sure that we address the biggest challenge. And unfortunately, Plaza actually is transporting the poorest of the poor and the working class. And if there is challenges in Plaza, even if it would have meant taking the DG of the department to go and attend to the problem, we would have done that. But I also want to correct something. There's an impression created that there has been a regression because of the unavailability of the CFO. The report we are dealing with is up to March. And the CFO went to Plaza in July. And I want to indicate that even at the time of the close of the audit, even the engagement with regard to this audit, he was available and for many better. That is very important. I see the members of the opposition have asked questions, but now they were talking about the duration of investigations and the issues of spend. I won't go into that. The vacancies in Dr. Harare, I think we have responded to that. The top positions of the DGs have indicated that the issue of the DGs, we have now advertised the post of the DGs. You would know that in any environment, there is a period where probation, and we did not confirm them out of the scope of their probation. And I thought I needed to comment to indicate that one. Yes, you indicate that we have challenges with insufficient human resources, but I want to say we have, under the trying circumstances, a team of men and women in Europe that have gone beyond the call of duty. And if I say this, they would now be demanding their MDS that they have not been getting before. The senior management of the department has not been getting their performance since 2013, but I think they have done well. We need to make note of that. The issue of pushing engagement with the Department of Justice to get a closer date, as our CSC report says, confirmation tomorrow, action of the judgment will be passed and we will hear. I think the discussion here has raised the spirit of whoever is being arrested to remind us that it will be there for tomorrow. I think the SDG and the Deputy Minister would respond to other matters that I might not have responded to, but I just thought those particular quality areas I was not defending them, I'm just giving part of what I need to give. But I need to say, Chairperson, we do get, including the honorable member, Hamsinga, one of the questions he has raised is related to this investigation on e-matings and all this. Questions in the House to in Parliament, but he is not here to get the reply, so I don't just like to put them there.
Dear that
find information concerning patients, our representatives of man, they were talking about getting from the chapter in the next policy that we are about to find them. I think that's what I want to say. Regarding the sense of market.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, when we next come to Parliament, can we shall bring with us the essence and the business and how far we have gone and what are the issues that then we have to do to Chair, the report for Fire Chair, even the 17th was before a couple of others on the 25th of October. So they do come almost every week. I think we got another four orders. The others are just duplication. That if you don't comply with the previous order, they add other charges or sanctions. So we went sitting at 17 before the 25th, we got 4 more, so they are about 21. Although the majority are very clear, others that I talked to the DG, others talked to the department, others talked to the program manager, there's about 18 respondents. Even that CFO and their father is not something. Now we could have put 70s, but it couldn't have been at the time of writing. And I think tomorrow, whichever way it goes, it becomes the end of our legal problem, end of issue. Going forward, we'll try to see how best then we settle ourselves out of the legal quagmire. Let us talk about the issues around legal team, but I think they just elements of election where we've not done like last year, but those are minimal issues, and mainly in policy assurances. Also, I think the AG still has issues in terms of timely response to their findings, which we are in this current engagement letter, the audit process, we are so it would find that if it goes into the fourth or the fifth, even if there are anticipated resolutions, the still report as a late response to the issues. On the other deal with this overseas trip, on that, I intend to just to my mind. But the movement of money from Tanzania, it was cut, it was not the service, it was cut by the Tanzania. So, firstly, they told us to cut COD by percentage 1, 2, 3, and then they came later after the first piece was won. They took again another chunk about this. So we will have a budget this year of 437. Pretty much enough to even go beyond the procedures that are required. We have identified 5 and 15. We can even go beyond. The challenge is then the increase next year. The budget moves from 437 to 439. Now that increase of 2 million cannot do anything to the general assessment conditions of the even worse. But the letter we received last week actually they reduced it to 4, another 5 million to 41. Now when we were expecting that we have been hacked about the challenges we were expecting, they took more. The Treasury looked at headcount. They don't look at vacancies and they're playing around the vacancies. So they looked at the headcount, what do they actually spend? And they are basing it on this small staff compliments that we have. like I said earlier on, we wanted to believe that it was in hand when we were talking to them in the last couple of weeks. But the letter then surprised us again. It's a matter that we still engage them on. We do have monitoring on the current sea. We do not have the necessary the same capacity on PTNG and PTOG. And I think that's a matter that we need to, because we had thought that we need a film of position, so then it's coming as position to deal with monitoring information of that. Looks like it's not going to come. We still are going to their pocket capacity. And this is what traders does not understand, that we want to increase capacity so that we will be most dependent on contractors. Because if you don't do that, you will be forced still again to go pay a prohibitive amount in terms of professional. Well, when we were responding to the actual deal and this movement, it was because we were addressing achieved targets. In gold, as part of the deliverables around gold. Now, as a deliverable within the department, almost all of those pieces of legislation we could have spoken to them. But Arto Bill was approved by cabinet in the last financial year, as it is yet. So it was the NLCA very early in the year, actually. Who changes the scope on the contract? I think this is what this was the reason given for some of the regular expenditure. Now, scope, if changed legitimately, needs to go through the bidding committee processes and all those approval levels. Now, if a project manager then does not follow the scope, we immediately categorize that money, and then we investigate, and then we then invoke the and that then after the investigation, it then take to the either you recover the money from the official or you condone it. And perhaps we need to clarify, condonation of the regular expenditure can enter from the project manager, accounting officer, and the treasurer, depending on which law or regulation was transcribed. If you transcribe the treasury regulation, if the treasury, if it is a procedure internally, depending on the level of the amount, either the accounting officer or the program manager. So that is the record. Fruitless and wasteful comes to Parliament. Has this 2.5 billion, which we can safely say 1.20, which was of the Bastard Bill of 2008, the Justice Bill of Parliament. Parliament recommended that this be turned off as the special mandate that needs to be passed. So once that is passed and then we are aware of it, we are going to take away the 1.2 billion. We'll be left with the regular fruitless and non-operative special on energy. Because we are disputing the contract, we cannot not disclose the amount that's unauthorized. While at the same time we are disputing the contract that is irregularly extended. Now that is the one that will sit there for some time until we find a solution. After the concord, depending on which way it goes, we start that process of dealing with the unauthorized 1.1% of the E96 to Parliament for those processes. I think of importance on those amounts that last year we incurred zero such expenditure in the budget. The 2.5 come from prior year, 1.2 billion dollars. That is in 2009. I think we've dealt with 2007 and Yeah, in terms of the PFSA, all miners that are not certified or connected must be standardized in the country. And unless there is legislation that dictates otherwise, acting pre-act that indicates that the miners so connected must be used for the maintenance of air management of traffic in the country. And that is why the part of the resolution on this United issue is to then put it where you know when the money is collected in terms of proficiency, which then becomes the urgency at a later stage. From then, I think there is this issue that came several times around. Okay, and the unachieved budget, I mean, unachieved targets, we, as we were talking in the slide on what we have achieved, key achievements, we hope to know that there's not been achieved.
There is implementation that follows the feasibility that has been done, and it should actually be aligned to the framework that has been proposed. So invariably, the framework should be aligned to the body of work, and the body of work should be aligned to the framework.
I don't documents that have been
filed already. The details of the overseas trip of 639,000. An overseas trip was approved properly, approved by the minister for a number of officials who undertook the trip, but the officials decided to stay in other venues than the venues that were booked for them by the mission. And we obviously incurred losses because most venues that were booked had a 100% cancellation clause from the they went and stayed in other accommodation and ended up paying double. This was due to decisions, active decisions made by the Bureau of Natural Affairs. He asked for this matter to be investigated, and the investigation might be completed. I haven't received details of that, but we know that the disciplinary hearing has been concluded on the however, the Municipal Road Maintenance Guard has got standardized criteria of considering rollovers. For the department, we submit rollover requests with motivations to the National Treasury. We don't apply the criteria. Treasury applies their own criteria of whether to approve a rollover or not. We know that the criteria became much more harsh in later years. spending pressures now. Treasury is less likely to receive a rollover, but also at the end of the financial year, the province of the municipality will remake additional grant payments to you, and when they haven't spent the money on the next cycle, they must either surrender the money back to the department or they must surrender the money back to the department. But they also apply for rollovers via the department. The department will then go back to the business plan and the plans that were initially submitted to substantiate the provision of the grant and check whether those projects are viable, whether they are properly planned, and what the reasons are for not having spent the money. Because the department can only then make recommendations to the National Council to approve the development of the plot. Yes, also again on the scope of contract, I'm only actually to mention there were two specific cases that occurred in the past financial year on the scope of contract that was extended. One of them was a venue that was arranged by the department, and as it happened, apparently more people were fixed. There was inspected, more chairs were needed, etc., and people verbally then told the service provider to bring more equipment, more chairs, or whatever, and it was cost the department more money because the additions to the services that were provided were not included in the contract, but we see as an extension of the scope of the contract. Another issue was that a service provider was working for the department, developing a strategy, and which was also not in the contract, was that the officials who worked with the service provider invited the service provider to send one of their people on an overseas trip with the department. The service provider accompanied the department on the overseas trip to claim the money from the department, which was not included in the overseas trip. So in that manner, unofficially, sometimes officials cause an extension of scope to the contract. And these things, obviously, when they happen without proper approval and without following the proper procedure, they end up as being treated as irregular expenditure, being investigated, and then, if possible, when there's a loss to the state, if possible, recovering the money from
overseas. Thank you very much. have national treasury through the accounting general office to understand the kind of departments affecting the minimum investigation, especially of this nature, because we realize that many departments and municipalities might find themselves in situations like this where they are qualified based on something that they don't have control. But I believe that the engagement that we have had with you also opened our eyes to how to manage the process going forward. With regards to the vacancies, we will fill the vacancies and make sure that the department is not in order. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. Let me remind members that on Friday we are having